Hallelujah. Good morning, church. Can we give God thanks? We thank you, Lord Jesus. We are grateful. Thank you, our Father. Thank you for your mercy that we enjoyed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us mercy. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the supply of grace, even from your servant, our daddy in this house. We thank you for your servant, Pastor Thompson Ehima. We thank you for your handmaiden, even our dear mommy, Mommy Dupe Thompson Ehima. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blessings flowing even to them and also through them to us. We are grateful. Thank you, oh God. This is prayer series, the availing effectual prayer. We ask for help, oh God, that the spirit of prayer will rest upon us. There will be so much help that we enjoy. Even as a people, you will help us, our heart to be stirred to pray. Even our wine of prayer will increase. As a result of this series, there is so much grace that we made available in the house, even to pray effective prayer, to pray availing prayer, to pray even prayers that are acceptable. You will help us, our Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we've prayed.
My heart and their heads. So we're singing a culture, devotion of the fathers, the devotion of the fathers. Oh, I want to show you the devotion of the fathers. Show you how they took strides with me in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer, show you the secret of milestones. Great milestones. Great strides they took with me, even in their walk, even in their walk. Oh. Prayer. They made no cosia. They used to prayer. They stayed on prayers. Oh, they prayed. For me no share tamana. Shall we not pray? You should pray too. You too should pray. Even to come into that has been written concerning your generation. Oh, but they handed down a pattern to you. Even in the place of prayer. So I show you secrets. Secrets. Even when you start to pray. Secrets you want to lay hold on. Even when it's time to pray. Say the Spirit of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's actually one of the burden, you know, in my heart for this topic, that the tongues and interpretation, you know, has been able to bring it forth. This is lesson 4, and our theme is actually the availing effectual prayer. By God's grace, today's topic is when you pray, that is prevailing in prayers. Everybody can pray. You can say things, but we want prayers that can prevail. And when you say prevailing prayers, it means that you are actually going against something to overcome. So meaning there is a labor, you know, that we must put in, and we must do it in knowledge. One of the essence of this teaching is to give us knowledge so that we can be able to offer availing, prevailing prayers.
which are effectual. By God's grace, last week, we saw that faith in God is actually the premise and the ground for engagement, you know, in the place of prayer. That is, no prayer can be effectively offered without faith being the ground that such prayer should stand on. Because to pray, you need to have faith in God. You need to have faith in God when you are praying to God. You need to believe, you know, also in His word. Because He said He exalts His word above His name. You also have to believe that He's able to hear you. We showed us last week that, you know, yes, there are prayers, especially when we come, you know, in a congregation like this, we have to open our mouth and speak aloud. We have to pray aloud, but we also taught how that there are certain prayers that you can also do under your breath. You can do quiet prayer. That does not mean that God will not answer. We showed us last week that it's really about our person, first of all, because it is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. So we also spoke about our person, you know, having faith in the heart. We also saw that prayer aims to establish and fulfill the cause and agenda of God upon the earth. You know, John Wesley said that it's as if God cannot do anything on the earth or for humanity except a people pray and ask for it. So it's as if God is limited by our prayer. You know, Kenneth Hagin also said that it's as if God is limited by our prayer life. So meaning it's a call to pray. It's a call, you know, to respond, you know, to the desire and the burden in the heart of God. And that's why, you know, Ian Bounce also said that it's as if that the gospel will actually drag and it will be slow. If a people are not standing in gap to pray, that is, the more we are able to pray effective prayers, the faster the gospel can move. You know, and the gospel is really for us. You know, don't just see the gospel as evangelism, preaching up and down. It's firstly for us. So meaning every move of God, you know, is limited by how much a people can tarry in the place of prayer to ask for such. Moving on, we also saw last week that prayer can either be offered loudly or under breath, which I've explained, you know, earlier. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name, you know. And we also saw the key component of, you know, believers' prayer is firstly to believe. We also have to have desire and also to speak by faith. We also taught how to speak to our mountains. We also learned last week that it's very expedient for us to envelop our prayers with thanksgiving. That is, every prayer should be offered with what? With thanksgiving. Hallelujah. By God's grace, today's objectives, we are focusing on the different ingredients and constituents that make up effectual prayers. Also to see the heart posture necessary, you know, for prevailing in prayers. And also how to know when one has prevailed on a matter in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. We are trusting the Lord that it will be an awesome time in His presence in Jesus' name. Let's read our Bible text, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Let's read together, church, want to go? Therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So we are to pray everywhere. Let's read the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 1 alone. Want to go, church? And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus said that men ought to always pray and not to what? Not to faint. There means that you can't do prayers without faith. Without faith, you will faint. So men ought to always pray, you know, and not to faint. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Want to go, church? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So Holy Ghost is an intercessor. So Holy Ghost is a prayer being. Holy Ghost prays. We can see it here. And we also taught last week that Jesus intercedes for us. So meaning the Godhead, they are actually the first prayer beings. So if the Godhead pray, we saw in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, with other creation, God said, but when it came to man, He said, and God said, come, let us make man. So it was a prayer. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So we'll see that the Godhead are prayer beings. So to be like them in image and likeness, it means that we can also fall short in the demand for prayer. And we also saw that even if man does not have any need, there's still a need for prayer. Because the major essence of prayer is to be like God. You'll see that Jesus was without sin, but yet He prayed in the book of John chapter 17. He said, glorify me. Didn't the Father know? They have an agreement. But why did he still have to offer that prayers? He said, glorify me. John chapter 17 verse 5. He said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. That is a prayer. So meaning even without sin, there's still a need for us to be what? To stay in prayer. There's still a need for us to pray. There's still a need for us to have a prayer life. Because some believers have this misconception that I should only pray only when I sin. So prayer is not just because of sin. Man should pray. Let's read the book of Daniel chapter 10, 17 to 18. Want to go church? For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straight away there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me, and one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. That was a prayer that Daniel rendered. Let's read the book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Let's read together, church. Want to go? Who in the days of his flesh, talking about the Lord Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared. You know, him that he feared means that he was persistent also in the place of prayer. Jesus did not just do a one day prayer. We could see it in the scriptures, how that it was recorded that several times he actually separated himself to pray. And even to go to the cross, he knew that he had to go to the cross. But yet, he what? He prayed. He said, not my will, but your will. So that's why you see that we'll struggle with the life of obedience if we are not fervent in the place of prayer. It will always be difficult to do God's will. Even when we know it, you have to pray to know it first because we don't know it. The will of God is not on the street. You have to pray to know it first and tarry in the place of the word. And when you know it, to even do it, you also need prayers. So we'll see that prayer all the way. You know, recently I'm seeing the word as what? As firework, but without lightning. When you are here to lighten firework, that thing has potential to fly high and explode, but it will just be potential. So meaning the word will be able to prosper and do the why God has sent it, you know, if we can light it up with prayer. So prayer is lightening that firework. And that is why the more we are able to pray, especially with the amount of knowledge God is blessing us in this community, the better we'll be. Because there will be so much instruction, we'll just be in our head, but little in our heart. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's read the book of James chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. Want to go to church? But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So you can't be doing the prayer of faith and you are saying your heart, peradventure God want it. You're already doubting in your heart. And when you doubt in your heart, you not receive any good thing. Let's read James chapter 5 verse 16. Want to go church? Confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So this verse is actually intense. Meaning your person also, you know, tells how effective your prayer will be. Introducing the lesson. He said, it has been affirmed that prayer is not a mere religious routine or a show of piety, but a heart-to-heart engagement with the Lord with the intention of aligning our lives, our community, the church, and the nations of the earth with the counsel and program of the Godhead. Let's read the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 42. Want to go church? Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If Jesus had not tarried in the place of prayer, he wouldn't have known that his will was still there. Prayer also can show you your limitation. What has been clogging the will of God for you? And that is why we'll see that prayer is expedient, you know, for us to engage with so that the agenda of God, the program of God, can be done on the earth. Because since what happened in the book of Genesis chapter 3, whereby Adam yielded the what? The authority to rebel holders. They now became rebel holders of authority. So there are beings in our heavens that will not prevent a smooth conversation between God and man. And that is why, for anything to happen on the earth, a people must ask for it. So you will see, you know, that even concerning Jesus, a people prayed for the coming of the Lord, even in the flesh. For the word to be made flesh, a people prayed for it. And we could see in Simeon, hallelujah, in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Let's read together, church. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And behold, there was what? There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. Say just and devout.
Just and devout.
So they first told us about his person. About his person, just and devout. Meaning he was a man of faith and was a man that was consistent, waiting for the what? Consolation of Israel. That waiting for the consolation of Israel, he was praying. And in the place of prayer, he prayed to the point whereby God said, no, I can't deny you. Your eyes not witnessing the person that will embody the consolation of Israel. Because the consolation of Israel is a person. It's the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Meaning the Holy Ghost helped him also to pray. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. You know, Kenneth Hagin said that God will hold us responsible. If, as a church, we are not praying for our nation. We also read that in the Interceding Christian. So meaning it is very expedient for us as believers and as a church to labor in the place of prayer for the nation. I can remember some years ago, you know, that there was a leadership, you know, in an African country, and it was horrible. But the church stood up and prayed. They prayed until they prayed through, and God answered that prayer. And we saw that after that rain, after that regime, the gospel also moved to another phase. So it's very expedient for us to what? To pray. A person or people would not be said to have prevailed in prayer if this intention or expectation is not attained or fulfilled. Meaning, we don't have the measurement to gauge it. God does. So we must be able to pray until his own intention, according to his own design and purpose, is fulfilled. So you don't stop praying because you've sweated. And you just feel, it is done. Can you see? It was Holy Ghost that revealed it to him. It was not the one that just stood up that, don't worry, it is sorted. It was Holy Ghost that revealed it to him that he should not see death until he has seen the Lord Christ, which was a sense was given unto him by the Holy Ghost that your prayer has been answered. And it continued until he was able to carry Jesus. So we would achieve very little in prayer if we cannot engage to the point of prevailing. The issue of prevailing and breaking through is very important, especially when one is making prayers of intercession and supplication. You know, we have different types of prayers. Thank God for the labor of Pastor Kenneth E. Hagin. He actually labored to, you know, to show us how that there are different types of prayer. And this came as a result of him waiting on the Lord. He waited on the Lord till he was able to get answer to the different types of prayers. Because before, he said it in one of his book, Out of Prayer. He said he used to pray all prayers as intercessory prayers. Until a time came that by laboring in the place of the word, he began to see that there are different types of prayer. Do you know that when even your worship level is low, you need to pray? There is what is called prayer of worship. When your praise level is low, there is what is called prayer of praise. There is what is called intercessory prayer. There is what is called supplication prayer. Prayer of supplication. There is what is called prayer of faith or prevailing prayers. So there are different types of prayer. I hope you know there is what is called prayer of thanksgiving too. You know, some people believe that until they sing, they've not thanked God. Now, no, you have to sing and dance. Until you rababa to the right, rababa to the left. You can pray the prayer of thanksgiving. You can pray and God is receiving pleasure of thanksgiving from you. The issue of prevailing you know, and breakthrough is very important, especially when one is making prayer of what? Intercession and supplication. Intercession also involves praying for a person or persons to hold back judgment from coming upon, you know, them due to their disobedience or rebellion. We can see a practical example with Moses. Exodus chapter 32, verse 30. Let's read it together, church. Want to go?
And it came to pass
on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And what? And said, oh, these people have sinned a great sin, and I've made them gods of gold. So you see that Moses told them, you have sinned, so I need to go up to the Lord to intercede on your behalf. Because that intercession is to hold back the hand of judgment. Also in the book of Genesis, when God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and on the way of the angels to bring about that judgment, what happened? He said, can I do such a thing without telling my friend Abraham? And Abraham interceded from 50 righteous men. You know, Kenneth said, if he had gone further, peradventure, maybe we'll have reduced it to the number of Lot and his household. And maybe Sodom and Gomorrah will have been preserved. But telling us the power of intercession. So you'll have thought, for instance, if probably that it was written somewhere, you know, that without 50 righteous men in Sodom, it must be destroyed. You'll have thought that was all. But until we saw intercessory in place, that's how the number can be reduced. Which means that even though judgment has been proclaimed concerning a matter, even though there's already a vindicate for concerning an issue, there can still be what? There can still be, if there's someone that can stand in gap, such judgment can still be averted. And that is why we can't joke with any type of prayer. Many of us, we've written a lot of our, you know, family and friends off because of their wayward life, or they don't even believe in the Lord Jesus. But they need someone to stand in gap. Because you that you gave your life to Christ, somebody prayed for you. If probably it was maybe through a church program or a crusade, I can tell you there were people that had prayed for that service. That the Lord will orchestrate your feet to come there. So somebody prayed for you to give your life to Christ, or rather to respond to the call of God. So we also, we have that sole responsibility to intercede. Even for our nation. There's a way all of us, we do our hands off. When issues are happening, when judgment are being proclaimed, you know, there's a way, maybe, you know, someone in your family is, no, he's a bad person. So, yes, bad things should happen to him. Because bad things should happen to bad people. No. He's a person. He's not Satan himself. You should stand in gap and intercede. And that is the manner of spirit of the New Testament that Jesus was teaching the disciples. He said intercession involves praying for a person, you know, to hold back judgment, standing in gap. It's also practically, it's substituting oneself for the person upon whom judgment is to be passed in the place of prayer for mercy and divine intervention. We also saw how Kenneth Hagin had to pray for his brother Dob. You know, he had an encounter when he was still on a mission trip, and he prayed through, not knowing that what was happening was actually happening in real life. What he perceived that was happening in the spirit and was able to pray through. That's why we have to be sensitive. We have to be what? Sensitive. One very important, you know, personality that can help us in the place of prayer is the Holy Ghost. He knows what to bring at individual times. You know, I can remember one of the days I was preparing for my exam, you know, back then on campus. And I just found a way to pray. You know, it was a strong nudge. So I left the reading room. I went to the common room, you know, to pray. As I was praying, you know, I had a vision. It was as if I was in another country. I was in China, and a girl was about to be raped, you know. And I was telling the guys, I said, no, leave her, run away. I pushed them away. It was just a vision. And I took the girl. She stood up. She was crying, you know. Immediately, she stopped crying. Immediately, I opened my eyes. I said, so I'm in this common room. It was an experience. But you don't know what would have happened to that life if that prayer was not offered. To me, it was an experience. But I'm very sure it happened, actually. So at times, when we also pray, we stay in the place of prayer of intercession, you know, either to avert evil. At times, there can be appearance of angels as men. Just to avert such evil. That is why we cannot joke with prayer. prayer of intercession is very expedient for every New Testament believer. Because if Holy Ghost is an intercessor, if Jesus is an intercessor, then I also am an intercessor as a believer. Do you have an husband that is not responding well? Can you pray? Do you have a father that is misbehaving? Can you pray? Do you have a family member that is not responding well to God? Can you pray? Can you stay in gap and labor through? Supplication, on the other hand, is an entreatment of God for favor and grace. It's a kind of prayer engaged when there is need for intervention of God on a critical issue. It is praying and asking for supply of what is lacking. According to the word supplication, it means to supply that which is lacking. And we can see that you can supplicate for yourself. Philippians 4:6. Want to go church?
Be careful for nothing.
But in what?
In everything. Prayer and supplication. Let every request be made known to God.
He was talking to them about their individuals. About their individual life. That you see, with what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In everything, we ought to pray. So meaning I can supplicate for myself. Am I lacking in patience? I can actually pray the prayer of supplication in that regard. That Lord, teach me how to be patient. Take me through processes that will help me to learn how to be patient. You know, patience will not just rest on you. There are things you must go through. So you can even lack maybe, you know, supply. You can lack a kind of supply. Probably you check your life, say, I'm lacking this fruit of the Spirit. I'm lacking this, I'm lacking that. You can pray and supply. You can pray the prayer of supplication for yourself. You know, Kenneth Hagin said, either in spiritual things or even in natural things. Are you in lack of something in the natural? You can pray the prayer of supplication. Apostle Paul said, in everything. In everything means both spiritual things and natural things. You know, we are yet to receive, you know, because we've not what? We've not asked. We can also supplicate for the saint. We also see that in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 6. It said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Praying always with what? All prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So meaning I also have a responsibility to supplicate for who? For all saints. We can also supply, can pray the prayer of supplication, you know, for those in authority and for all men. We can read the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Want to go church? I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, especially for those that are in authority. One thing common with both kinds of prayer is that it's a wrestling against wicked spirit and evil princes, responsible for the problem to start with, and also can withstand the answer from coming through. If you ask Daniel, Daniel has a lot to say about this. How that from the very first day that he started praying, his prayer was answered. But did he receive the answer to his prayers? No. There was a prince that withstood him. Until another angel was sent by God to help him in the place of prayer. Then he brought the answer on day 21. So 20 additional days were added. But thank God, Daniel also tarried in the place of prayer. Imagine he had stopped at day 3. There is no way he would have gotten that answer. Now it would have been an hidden file. So the reason why we still have some hidden files is because we've not prayed through. Must be able to stay in the place of prayer until we see the result. Hence, they need to see to it that one prevails or breakthrough in such endeavors. Our Lord Jesus on earth always prevailed in the place of prayer so much that I could boldly declare, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Let's read the book of John chapter 11, verse 42. Want to go church? That thou art sent me. We'll be examining how that some secrets are responsible for the success of Jesus in the place of prayers. If we don't know the secret that Jesus engaged in, for him to have a prevailing prayer life, will be limited even in our own prayer lives. Let's see the ingredient and the heart posture required for prevailing in prayer. You know, everybody can cook something, but there are certain people that they call them chef. You know, there are some that their apron is all they just put on their neck. But when you see someone wearing a correct white, that's a professional. So Jesus was a professional when it comes to prayer. There were secrets that he engaged with. There were secrets that he engaged to become a professional in the place of prayer. He's a professional that will say, Father, I thank you for you hear me always. Not sometime. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So let us check for some key, you know, elements prayer must have for it to be effective, prevailing, and also successful. Say knowledge of God's will.
Knowledge of God's will.
There is no way a prayer will be a prevailing prayer without knowing the will of God. Even after God told Abraham that he wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sins, Abraham knew that God wants to save all men. You see what Apostle Paul said, that for God, who have all men to be saved. So when God is saying, I'm coming to destroy so, I'm telling you, the will of God really is to save all men. That is why some atheists say that if God is a true God, why did he destroy every man in the days of Noah? I said, no, it wasn't God that destroyed them. Their sins destroyed them. Because in creation, there's what is called actions and consequences. It's a law set. No matter how good a vehicle is, it needs a steering. That is, I'm not sure if me, I will stay inside a vehicle that does not have a physical driver. Let's say take light and there is no power supply for Wi-Fi connecting it. There will be a lot of chaos. Because there are actions and there are consequences. And that is why you see that there is a need for us to know the will of God so that we can engage well in the place of prayer. For instance, you want to intercede for someone that is sick. You must know that the will of God for us is to have health. If Apostle John, if an apostle could desire that they prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospered, how much more God? Who is the God of the apostle? So there is a need for us to what? Know what God's will is. Said any man who will have results in prayer must be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When you know God's will on a matter, you'll be able to pray until you pray through. So I need the knowledge of God's will. You know, we'll see that it's very expedient for us to know what the will of God is. Because what you should take to the place of prayer is actually his will. God, this is your will. Baba God, this is your will. When you offer God his will, it will be acceptable. The reason why we pray amiss is because we lack the knowledge of his will. When we lack the knowledge of his will, there is no way we can pray prevailing prayers. Let's read the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Want to go church? Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Because he knows what we need. So when I know his will, I'm able to take that his will to the place of prayer that will be acceptable. Can I take in? He said, obviously, as we're reading scriptures, but he said this put on this Ephesians chapter 1. That the eyes of his understanding being enlightened. He said he prayed it, you know, morning and evening for how many months? 6 months. And he began to ask the wife, that what have I been preaching for the past 14 years? Because he was seeing scriptures differently. Because he knew that the will of God for him is actually for his eyes of understanding to be enlightened. And he engaged that prayer and he saw results. Desire is a key component of outfit prayer. Imagine you don't have any desire. Then why are you going to pray? Mark 11 says, whatsoever ye desire, when you pray. So meaning I need to have something before I engage in prayer. And that is desire. Because what God will meet with is actually the desire in my heart. And we can see that with the woman with the issue of blood. She had a desire. She said, you know, it was a prayer that she said, that if only I can what? Touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. It was a desire in her heart. And that desire, immediately she touched Jesus' garment. Just the hem of his garment. What happened to her? She was made whole. To the point that Jesus knew that virtue left him. So desire can draw. For me to be effective in the place of prayer, to pray effective, prevailing prayer, I need to have desire. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. And he has desire. That desire is that we all should be saved. So there is a need for us to have desire. If people were moving with Jesus, and there was a blind man, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David. No, that was desire. Have mercy on me. And Jesus, he kept shouting. At some point, they told him, keep quiet. He kept shouting. Until Jesus heard, the scripture says, and Jesus asked the multitude to wait. And he went to meet the man. It was desire drawing. Desire made him speak out. Because his desire is that he wants to see. So what do we also desire this year? Do you want to remain the same you that at the end of 2025, I can say, by my strong desire, God has changed me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? That's Luke chapter 18, verse 40 to 41. You know, it's that same Luke chapter 18 that Jesus was saying, men ought always to pray in verse 1 and not to faint. So this man did not faint. His desire was strong that he was able to push through until Jesus gave him attention. Another thing is faith. We can also see even Apostle Paul talking about desire concerning the Ephesian church, concerning the Colossian church. Even though they were already in an allocation of the gospel, but by his desire, he began to pray for them. So desire should move you to the place of prayer. So one of the reasons why we are not really praying or being effective in the place of prayer or being able to pray effective, availing prayer is because we lack desire. So we come to church because they ask us to come. But we are not really desiring any change, so to say. So the same issue God has been repeating for years. I want to change this year. No man can receive anything of the Lord except by faith. Because faith is born out of the understanding of the will of God. So without faith, you can't receive anything from God. If Apostle James said, such a man is being tossed to and fro. You can't receive any good thing from God. Because faith is the good of God. So when I lack faith, there is no way I can pray prevailing prayers. In fact, imagine you don't have faith and you are praying. Why are you praying? That's the question. If you don't have faith, then why are you praying? And that is why faith is a virtue. The Lord Jesus praised at different times in his sojourn. Jesus appreciated all manner of faith that he saw with people. Oh, ye of little faith, it was a faith. Oh, this woman had great faith. If you read the story of the Syrophoenician woman, that woman had great faith. Jesus was even trying to tell her, no, bread is for the table and it's for the children. No, the woman said, what about crumbs that fall off from the table? Even the dogs can partake of it. See that kind of faith. That I know that by nature, my person may not be so right. I have faith in what you can do for me. And that is why we should believe in God for anything. If you can't believe God for your natural things, how will you believe him for spiritual things? So it's very expedient for us to engage faith in the place of prayer in everything. For a man to be effective in prayers, such a one must take love work seriously. Say seriously. We must be able to walk in love as couples, with one another as brethren, with those we doubt, towards our leaders. It's not good that when they ask about you in your office, they'll say, very cantankerous. Or very difficult. Because you are a team lead, yes, you are a little manager somewhere, does not mean you should be too strong-willed. No, you work in love. At times you ask for the opinion of others. You know that it is your team that have done the job. Instead of you to also point finger at them when they are celebrating you, that actually it was the team that put everything together. It's love work for you to also acknowledge when people get it well. When people do the right thing, it's love work to appreciate them. So acknowledge that, oh, this one, you really did well. And that is why there is no way. Imagine you are fighting the whole world. You now want to come and pray to God. How possible? Even angels will be running away from you. But you see, if you are a love worker, even angels want to attend to you. Because your engagement is drawing their presence. You know, angels are actually, they have substances of faith and love. Hope you know. And that's why when Satan perverted his own nature, he became an instrument of doubt, an instrument of unbelief. He sowed discord. He is an hater. In fact, he poisoned some other angels, you know, soul to the point whereby they became hateful birds. That's perverted workings and nature that I used to have. So you will see that when you are not walking in love, there is no way you can pray prevailing prayer. In fact, you cannot even stand in gap for anybody because you always be selfish. If you pray 100 prayers, your 100 prayer points is just for you alone. It seems as if God is saying that when you come to the place of prayer, talk about other people with me, but leave yourself as the last person to talk about. Such is the manner of love work we ought to have. That even in the place of prayer, when issues are happening, I carry that matter to the Lord in the place of prayer. And it's as if I've forgotten about myself. It says, if we would get results in prayers, in this season of prayer, we must be conscious of things that come to offend our love work. We must be weary of offenses, bitterness, self-centeredness, and unforgiveness so that heaven will not close over us. One of the things that open heaven over us easily is love work. Have you done a love work before and perceive God is at peace with you? There are some love work you do, you will know it as if heaven is open over you. That's why Kenneth Hagin said that anytime he's praying and he's not getting results, he check his love work. Check his love work. Let's read the book of 1 Peter 3, 7 concerning love work. Want to go church? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So can you see? They attach hindrance to prayer to not walking in love. So meaning it's not something that I should contemplate about. It's a must. Gratitude and thanksgiving. When prayers lack the ingredient of thanksgiving and attitude of gratitude, such offerings can be rendered unacceptable. Hence, yielding no breakthrough, maintaining a culture of thanksgiving isn't just, you know, to make God happy, but to make the heart healthy and free from murmuring, complaint, and faithlessness. One thing that thanksgiving does to the heart concerning prayer is to enlarge the heart. And thanksgiving also increases the quality of faith in your heart. Because thanksgiving is like hyper faith. When faith is excited, for instance, you're embarking on a journey. By faith, you know you'll go and come back. But when you begin to thank God, Lord, I thank you for breakthrough. Where I'm going to thank you for safety on the road. Then, as you are thanking God, something happens to you. You know that you go safely and come back safely. Lord, we thank you for the tires of this vehicle. Thank you for the driver. Thank you for laying your hands on him. You thank God for everything, for the engine oil, for the carburetor, for everything. So we thank you. There is something that thanksgiving and gratitude in the heart does to you in the place of prayer. And that is why let's read the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It's a very good scripture. Want to go to church? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So maybe around February or June, there's another increase in fuel price. The first thing that should come to the heart, really, is to be grateful to God. Imagine you thanking God. Lord, I thank you that no matter the new price, I'll be able to buy fuel easily. I'm grateful. I won't complain. I'm grateful. Thank you for provision. There's something it does. You know, our women that go to the market, no matter the new price, say, ah, thank you, Lord. That regardless of the new price, we're able to buy what we need. We are grateful. There is what gratitude and thanksgiving does to your heart. Else, you'll just be full of complaints and murmurings. Giving thanks is God's will for us, and it must be obeyed so that we can see the great outpouring of God's power over us. We saw this culture with Apostle Paul and our Lord Jesus. Imagine Apostle Paul. He was in the prison, yet he was giving thanks. He was a prisoner, but yet he was giving thanks. Yes, he was a prisoner of Christ. We hope you know he was a prisoner also in a real prison, physical prison. But yet he was giving thanks. Concerning Paul and Silas, the scripture says, as they prayed and they praised, something happened to them. Their chains were broken. So, meaning in any condition we are in, we should be willing to have a heart of gratitude. Most times what we first do is to ask God, why me? Why me is complain. It's the intro to murmuring. Why me? So when you begin to ask God, why me? Know that you're about to what? Start complaining. You know, growing up, when they give you house chores, maybe a new one, there's a way you just say, why me? Out of others. Because you are the one that is beloved. Say brokenness and meekness.
Brokenness and meekness.
We are considering the key element to effective prayer and the right heart posture we ought to have. Brokenness and meekness. Meekness, humility, and brokenness are heart state that determines whether a man's offering of prayer can be accepted. If we are not broken and we are not meek at heart, in fact, number one, you will not even like praying. Because it takes meekness to pray. There is a saying that a proud man does not pray. So when you find yourself not praying, it means you are proud. Because you just feel, what do I have to tell God? So there is a need for us to know that meekness and brokenness, their heart posture, their heart disposition that we must have, you know, to have effective prayer life. And also to be able to offer availing effective prayer. So humility and brokenness and meekness are heart states that determine whether a man's offering of prayers will be accepted. We must approach God knowing that we really do not deserve anything from him based on our own works or obedience, but that we are only relying on his grace and mercy. I like the way, you know, Job rendered this prayer in the book of Job chapter 9. Said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Can you see the state of this man? Can we read together? I want to go to church. So meaning if God give you 1,000 questions, you can't get one right. It's a state of heart to approach God with. You know, there are some difficult lecturers. No matter the German question, some people in the hall, they know how to jam the answer that it shall look like it. But if God give you 1,000 German questions, you can't jam anyone. So, it's a heart disposition to cry for mercy. When we come to the place of prayer, at some point, he began to ask, I need an intercessor. Who will intercede for me? Who can stand in gap? But thank God that in the New Testament, we have our Lord Jesus Christ, who is interceding for us at the right hand of God. You know, you can't deny prayer offered at the right hand. That prayer must be answered. I can tell you many of us, Satan will have killed us, even naturally, if not for the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a need for us to have this humbleness and brokenness of heart, you know, even in approaching God. It's a heart disposition. We must be humble enough to know that even if he doesn't answer, no one can hold him accountable. That's why some people have gotten offended in God because they lost a loved one. You know, some people, they will be telling you, I prayed, but he didn't answer. So he's not fit to be my God anymore. Go and ask Noah. How many family members, how many of his neighbors he lost to the flood? If the whole world perished today, God is still God. What makes God God is not creation. What makes God God is his nature. So let all the angels, everything created, let them be no more. He is still God. Even Genesis recorded, he said in the beginning, God. Before he made heavens and earth, he was God. In fact, the book of Revelation recorded that he who was, who is, and is to come. So who are you? That your breath is in your nostrils. So it's a heart posture that we must have in the place of prayer. For us to be effective in the place of prayer, to pray availing, you know, effectual prayers. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14.
If my people which are called by my name
shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and we forgive their sin and we heal their land. I love the way Daniel prayed. In the book of Daniel, I think chapter 9, hallelujah, when he was praying about his sin and the sin of his people. Really, that was prayer of supplication, also prayer of intercession in one scripture. And you could see his heart. He said at the beginning of that supplication, Daniel 9:14, he said, therefore, had the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. See heart posture. Even though they were going through things in Babylon. But yet he knew that regardless of the evil that fell upon the people, God is righteous and in all his works. That's a good heart posture. So we can see that humility, brokenness in prayer should lead the believer to genuine repentance. Repentance is essential for gaining the Lord's audience and attention. Believers must acknowledge and confess their shortcomings, align their heart with God's righteousness in the place of prayer. That's why the scripture also admonishes us to what? Confess our fault or our sins to one another that we may be healed. So confession of our fault, both to the Lord and to one another, also brings healing. What is that healing? Answer to the prayer. Meaning, one of the heart posture that we must have is being able to also confess our fault, hard-headedness and lawlessness, and expect that God will have respect for our offerings. Heaven is only committed to those who are committed to their will and purpose. It is such people that would frequently prevail in prayers. Let's read the book of Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2.
Behold,
the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is he heavy, that it cannot hear. What separates us from God is our iniquity. And that's why, you know, by mercy, believers must be willing to stand in gap. To be able to pray the prayer of intercession for others that are out of the will of God. Because one of the things that bring judgment to us, or against us rather, is actually our disobedience. When a man is in disobedience, when a man is in transgression, what happens is that you bring the hand of the Lord against you. That is why a righteous man, say my obedience,
my obedience.
Invoke God. Say my obedience.
My obedience.
Invoke God.
Invoke God.
When you invoke, it means you are calling in the right way to comfort. But say my disobedience.
My disobedience.
My sin. Provoke God. When you provoke, you incite for destruction. But when you invoke, you call forth for a favor. That's why you see some voodoo people, they know how to incite spirit against another person. They know how to provoke spirit. In Yoruba culture, they have gods that they reference. You know, one of it is Eshu. So they don't see Eshu as Satan. They see it as one of the gods. To provoke that Eshu, he does not like palm oil. So if they want to send Eshu, you know, the demigod, to another person to hurt and harm the person. For instance, let me use Judas Iscariot. Eshu.
Judas Iscariot asked me to give you palm oil. Though he knows that you don't like palm oil, but he asked me to give it to you so that the issue can be what? Provoke. So our own sin too and unrighteousness provoke God. You know it was done on us. So that we will not take light of sin. We will not make light of it. But when they want to invoke, for instance, maybe they should like, you know, black rapper. They will now call another person's name. Maybe Demas. Demas said, I should give you this black rapper. He knows it's your best attire. So you should be happy. My obedience invoke God. That is a calling forth to what? To appease for favor. But my disobedience provoke God. Now, provoking God is not that God will by himself come against me. It's that I will break edges of his protection for the adversary that has actually hated my misbehavior to rush against me. So many have pointed accusing finger at God. If there is God, so-so country and so-so country should not be fighting that children and innocent people should not die. Nobody is innocent. There is what is called sin of omission. There is what is called sin of commission. Their parents are doing something, making wrong decision. So it's invoking one against another. Then the children will partake, even though they are innocent concerning the matter. But because of the decision of their parents, it's actually bringing judgment against the children. Which means that my work of obedience, my work of righteousness, will have an impact on my children and on my generations. That is why we should not compromise obedience. So that we can have, you know, availing, effectual prayer. Persistence and perseverance. Not all kinds of prayer will bring about immediate answer. For instance, you are praying for the consolation of Nigeria. You can't pray that prayer 3 days and say that God has heard. And you are living in a place of prayer. Imagine Pahelton has been praying for how many decades now? The prayer of Pahelton. We are still engaging in that prayer and we are here to see the manifestation. So meaning we must keep offering. We must offer and expect trusting God that it will happen in our days. But peradventure we are unable to witness it. We pray and show our children they should continue praying it. The Israelites, they were in Egypt for how many years? 430 years. By the time came, around 390 years, that they began to cry. They cried till God had to take Moses into the wilderness. So I can tell you that cry did not start, you know, at 390 years. When Moses started his own 40 years of training. It has started long ago. Because that was what even brought a man called Moses. So you will know that for us to prevail in the place of prayer, there are certain prayers that we have to be persistent and also persevere. For instance, Hannah, the prophetess. The scripture says that she was a widow just after 7 years of getting married. Definitely was in his 20s. When she became a widow, and she stayed in the place of prayer until she was 80-something. For 60 years plus, she was in the temple praying day and night for the consolation of Israel. So a woman prayed for 60 years. You can imagine how long Jesus has been praying also. Jesus has been praying for over 2,000 years. So meaning there are some prayers that we have to pray concerning the healing wave. You know, Kenneth Hagin prayed. He prayed for a long time. Not just himself alone, with some other ministers. They prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until it was not just a hair. It became a wave. So meaning, this word of righteousness also, as a community of people, we can pray it until it will be the normal gospel on poopy. The way some people pray for faith move. You can't mention faith move. And a true believer that has a walk with God cannot relate. We can also pray that this word of righteousness will be what? Will be a wave and not just a breeze. Because we will get little from prayers if we don't know how to persevere in the place of prayer. We can also see Daniel. Daniel also tarried in the place of prayer. Apostle Paul also tarried in the place of prayer until they got results. Also, praying must be done with a deep consciousness of God within. We must know that God is mindful of every word that we utter and every thought that our minds carry in the place of prayer. If we enter the place of prayer without this awareness, we'll be seen as hypocrite. As such, our offering will not be regarded. So we have to know how to persevere and tarry in the place of prayer. We must also know how to engage fervently in keeping appointments with God. Haste and procrastination hinders breakthrough. That's why we as believers, we must be hand with fervency and diligence. We can see the healing move that they experienced. Can I take in also? You know, he prayed until there was revival. They prayed every day for 5 good years. Some of the provisions some of us were able to enjoy. You know, if you mention some names like Mr. Edwards, they had a prayer room. Yeah. There a lot of people were being prayed for into hunger for God. And God answered that prayer. People at different places began to respond to the Lord. That people began to come into loving God for who he is. Not for what he can give. That labor produced something, and we thank God for it. Compassion against the heartlessness and insensitivity. Prayer for oneself and others should be rooted in compassion and mercy. The Lord is moved by believers' bowels of mercy, responding with answers and breakthrough in prayer. However, he remains unresponsive to accusations and slander against other saints. As such behavior grieves his spirit. That was why, at some point, the Lord Jesus had to rebuke Kenneth Hagin concerning what he said about a minister. You know, someone that is dumb should know the right thing to do. On one of the days, when he saw a light, and the Lord Jesus was asking him, is he your servant? Whose servant is he? He cried. He repented and repented until he knew that he was forgiven. You know, we can't be heartless concerning others. We must have compassion in our heart for others. You know, one of the things the Lord has been pointing out to me personally is that when you see the shortcoming or the infirmity of others, it's not for you to be quiet. It's for you to take it on in the place of prayer and pray it until you see the change. And if that is our manner, there is no way we're able to devour ourselves. Because at times Satan moves us to devour one another. So the bad gist spread faster. And it's the same Satan that will now make you that your gist has spread, you know, faster to say, oh, all those brethren, they are liars. They gossip about one another. But really, the reason why I became aware of that situation is to take it up in the place of prayer. Submission to God's will against strong-heartedness. Prayer was designed by the Lord to conquer believers in their thought, meditation, and will. Prevailing in prayer occurs when a person surrenders their stance and embraces the Lord's position on the matter. A believer who approaches God with this perspective must be prepared to yield and recognize that they cannot force their will upon the Lord. You see, thank God for the Lord Jesus, a perfect example. He said, not my will, but who? Your will. Jesus submitted to the will of God concerning him. He didn't negotiate his way out. If the Lord Jesus had negotiated his way out, there wouldn't have been anything like the cross. And that cross is needed because it's part of the process of our salvation. So when somebody offends us and we have a nudging to go and say, I'm the one that is sorry. When it's a cross, it is not your will, because your own will is that let us fight this fight. But the will of God is that you make peace with your brother. You make peace with your sister. That is why if anybody have aught against you, or you know you've hurt somebody, please, I want to beg you. There was a parable Jesus gave that drop your offering at the altar and go and make peace with your brother. It's evident we make peace with one another. Say, I'm sorry. Does not kill. It gives life. So that thing that is making you feel too big, bigger than saying, I am sorry, is Satan. And that thing is death. I hope there will be a lot of repentances, husband to wife. You know, even as the father of the house, you can say, I'm sorry. Yes, to your household, if you've wronged them, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Confidence and boldness. Uncertainty, timidity, double-mindedness, and guilt hinders believers from standing firm in the Lord with thanksgiving. The believer must carry confidence and boldness in their heart, assured that the Lord is already willing to act, even before they approach him in prayer. Let's read the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It didn't say let us come in doubt, or sluggishly, or let us come peradventure God. No, it's come boldly. The reason for boldness is not for God. The reason for boldness is against our adversary. Apostle Paul told the Ephesian church, he said, pray for us that boldness will be given. Because when the adversary see your feet, how you are walking without boldness, there is a way they can petition that thing. That this person is not even sure coming to you. So the reason for boldness is not even against God. It's against our adversary of faith. He said, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. So if I should come boldly, then I can also open my mouth boldly. So when you come to the place of prayer, one of the ways you'll be able to pray an availing, effectual prayer is that you come boldly. Not doubting in your heart. James said, a double-minded man cannot receive anything from God. Because you are unstable. So confidence and boldness is needed. And it's not in yourself. It's in the provision of the Lord Jesus. Also, heart void of offense. You can't be an habitat for offense. And you'll be able to pray availing effectual prayers. It cannot be done because it's a wrong heart posture. No matter how good you know how to offer prayers, if your heart has offense, the source is wrong. And I can tell you, that is why some people, because they're offended, they pray some prayers that they get answers by familiar spirit. When you say your uncle in the village should die because the man is mean, or they've told you that he has been the one enchanting your family, that's why you are not progressing. And you are praying that that person has become your enemy that must die by fire. You are offering prayer from a heart that has offense. I can tell you it can also be answered, but not by the Lord, but by evil spirit, by familiar spirit. They will just say that that man had accident and begin to celebrate. God has answered your prayers. But familiar spirit have actually answered your prayers. Because for God, who have all men to be saved. If you want to confirm, you see that our wonderful leaders across board, no matter their evil deeds or ignorant deeds, they live long. Many of them. How many of them do you hear that die of accident? Well, do you know how many masses that die of accident daily? Because God is giving them window for repentance. He said the long suffering of God is for repentance. Not willing that any should perish. The book of Peter. Not willing. God is not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. He said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you'll be surprised that some people can still celebrate 90 years on this earth, even though they are already in their 80s. How to know when you have breakthrough in prayer? There is a need for us to know when I've what? I've been able to break through in the place of prayer. Not of victory. When you are praying about something and your spirit gets into joy or laughter, this one is not your soul faking it so that you can end prayer on time. It is your spirit that will break into joy and laughter. If you watch Kenneth Hagin videos, you will see him. He will pray until he will start shouting, screaming in laughter. Start laughing in the spirit. There are signals of praying through. That joy is supplied by the Holy Ghost as a witness that you've broken through. The note of victory is actually at the point of thanksgiving and rejoicing. This kind of rejoicing is that which take possession of victory. You know, it is beyond the scope of the common or natural sense. It is dancing and rejoicing in the spirit, which has bettered the fulfillment of God's will. So it is not something you can fake. Say we know when it is the Lord. There will be note of victory in your spirit. Witness of the spirit. When we pray, the Lord can bear witness to our prayer through diverse manifestations and demonstrations of the Spirit to bring assurance that our petition has been heard and answered. This could also be through angelic visitation, utterance and revelational gift, tongues and interpretation, confirmation by gift of Christ, you know, in our midst, witness by the brethren, the grace upon the shepherd also. Let's read the book of Daniel chapter 10 verse 12. Daniel 10, 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Peace. After praying, sometimes we can have peace in our spirit on our request and petition. and feel secured and assured despite not having any proof or answer to our prayers. Can I take it when he was praying for his brother? He said he prayed until he had a note of victory. He prayed until he had peace concerning that matter. Also concerning, you know, Brother Goodman and the wife, they had a burden to pray for their Sunday school superintendent, who was an engineer that deals with cable. They were able to pray. It was the wife that started the prayer. The husband joined. Later on, the husband, I think, got tired, went back. The wife still found the burden to pray and kept praying. She prayed for hours, over 3 hours, until she had a note of victory, until she had peace in her heart. Then what happened was that the following day, they were meant to fix a particular cable. And God, because of that praying through, the man, the Sunday school superintendent, had a dream that he was about to climb. It was like a scene. That he was about to climb the ladder to change the cable. What happened? One of the cables removed and cut off his head. You know, when you see your head on the floor and you are still on the ladder in a dream, when you see the life scenario playing before you, what will happen? You will remember. Because they prayed through until they had note of victory. And one of the note of victory was peace in their heart. Then the wife now later went to sleep. Then when that same scenario played out, so the boss told him, oh, yeah, go up. And he said, go up. No, I'm not going up. But another person beside him, that they were co-workers, also a believer, but did not have anybody to have prayed through from him, took his stead, took his place, went off, and a cable cut off his head. Then you ask, but they were both believers. Sorry, one had a shepherd over him that was able to pray through for him. That is why you can't joke with pastoring. It is too dangerous and delicate. See, many believers have died like fowl, are suffering in the hand of Satan because they lack covering. They lack he that can be sensitive in the spirit to pray through for them. Because it's the manner of such of those that what? Submit themselves by the help of God. So you can't joke with spiritual covering. That one too was a believer. So we see that after praying sometimes, we can have that peace in our spirit on our request and petition and feel secured and assured despite not having any proof or answer to our prayers. Everyone around you may wonder what is giving you this peace. They might even think you are in denial. You know, Reverend Kenneth Hagin calls this having an inside information on a matter that others don't have. You are sleeping soundly in a boat in the middle of the storm, just like Jesus. They said, Master, cry out, we perish. Peace be still. The scripture says they wondered that even the storm heareth him. Jesus had that inside information that he cannot die. When Apostle Paul was giving an account of what he went through, imagine you spending a day and a night in the deep. Just spending 2 hours in the deep, in the middle of the sea. That's a lot. But he had an inside information before their ship even capsized that none will lose his life. So you see, that man did not just start praying in tongues, crying up and down. No, he had an inside information that none will lose his life. You know, we've considered different case study, talking about Simeon and Hannah, Moses, Daniel, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we respond in prayer? Let's respond in prayer. I want us to pray the prayer of supplication this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you. We exalt you for this season that you have brought upon us again, because we know it's a season that will bring us and baptize us into much more of your purpose and your intention for us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Dio, for blessing us. I believe that one of the intention of God, you know, in allowing us go this route is to steer our hearts once more again. You know, there's an assumption that every Christian prays. But I've met Christians that can't pray. I don't know. Have you met people who cannot pray? I've actually had believers say, when maybe you say, oh, yeah, pray for us, they'll tell you that I can't pray. You know, and that is very strange. Because one of the things this season will do for us, taking this lesson, is that it will move us forward. You know, one of the things that was said earlier when the lesson started, and what we must know is that God has desires. And one thing God has constituted to meet his desire is prayer. God has desire. You know, we all feel that we are the only ones that have prayer requests. God has prayer burdens. Why does he have prayer burdens? Because he needs a ground. God needs a ground to be able to accomplish his intention. It's a wrong mindset that part of what the fall gave to man is also selfishness. You know, God has desire. You know, and one thing we must know, that the enemy has mastered the act of preventing us from having an effective prayer life. He has mastered it because he knows that if he can get us there, he will diminish every line of communication. And once he diminishes every line of communication, we'll be rendered ineffective against his tactics. One of the thoughts and the trusts I also felt to say, the topic here is prevailing in prayer. Everybody prays. A lot of believers, they say Nigeria, people testify that Nigeria, we they pray. But you wonder why there's no effectiveness. So when you say prevail, prevail means you succeed, right? Prevail means you triumph. Prevail means you get the tangibility. Prevail means you come to a place of where you can get the tangibility. You know, when we say prevailing prayer is when we get the tangibility of what you are praying for. And we must know that there are two different things. You can start praying and result has been given to you, and yet you have not prevailed. Now, we saw it in Daniel. The Bible says in Daniel that when Daniel began to pray, answer was released. I'm sure Daniel did not know the equation of bringing the tangibility of his request. Do you know the equation of one angel stopping another angel? You know, that was where prevailing had to take place. You know, we've been taught that God is the God that heareth all flesh, but that he has prevailed. We need to prevail because we need breakthrough. You know, why do we need to prevail? You know, because the topic is prevailing in prayer. We need spiritual breakthrough. We need every breakthrough. Breakthrough in coming forth. Because people, if Satan leaves us, will we just be confessing salvation? If we think praying is not tight, we don't need to pray for what the knowledge of God, you know, that we are coming to, then you and I are joking. We are joking because there are some things that will not come down. You see, what the fall has done, the fall has brought a lot of wedge and breach and distance. Prayer is that breach that will bring us home to that place where we can lay hold, you know, of what God has prepared for us. And I also wanted to say that, you see, you can also separate the person from the prayers. And that was, you know, the burden. When you pray, the person that is praying, you know, we say God, you know, hears prayer. But you can't separate your person from the kind of prayer you are offering. The Bible says in James 5:16, he said, confess your fault one to another and pray for one another. You can see part of what Pastor Dyer was talking about. People who have prayer houses, they think they are prayerful people, but they are in unforgiveness. They are in fault. One wisdom we must learn is that to prevail in prayer, there are some things that we cannot play with. Like holding offense. Say, confess your sins, pray for one another. These are like normal life that a believer must have. It says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, there's the effectual, fervent prayer and the righteous man, not just a man. Amplify says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another. It says, the heartfelt, number one, the persistent, and the prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by power. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. We want dynamic prayers. We want prayers that carry power. We don't want to murmur words. You know, the reason why we spend so many time, sometimes in a prayer meeting of 1 hour, 45 minutes has been used to wind people to begin to pray. Sometimes in a prayer meeting, what we have actually prayed for is just 10 minutes. The effectiveness of our prayer might just be 10 minutes. Why do we spend many times in prayer? Now, if we are going to spend 2 hours in prayer, let's pray 2 hours and let's know that we have prevailed. So that scripture, you know, so it means that when you talk about prevailing prayer, there's quality, there's quantity. Quantity talks about the persistence, and there's the person. The days ahead, we are coming to a days where we will prevail in prayer. You know why I'm saying so? We are changing. We know we have prayed it at all in our walk with the Lord. But the more we change, the more we become like him. I know that we will come to a place where, like Jesus, I know that you hear me always. Not knowledge that Jesus had. It was a knowledge of an estate he has occupied. It was also a knowledge of what he had and where he was standing with God. God wants quality in our prayer. He wants prayers that are effective. He also wants quantity. You see, persistency in prayer, because people, you cannot take it away. Even our Lord Jesus, Luke 6, 12, he said Jesus went to pray and continued to pray. You know, one other area, and I know Satan also gets you and I here, we pray on a matter. We don't have staying power to stay and pray. You see, ability to pray. You know what I was talking about, Anna? How Anna, for more than 60 years plus, he said day and night, serving God, fervently, not leaving the temple. For the consolation, please, you need to understand that consolation. What happened to Simeon and Anna? Because you must realize that after Malachi, we had more than 400 years of darkness. They only had the promises in the prophets of a Messiah that was coming. But we had two people that could stay. Majority of their life, they stayed and waited. Because people, we have not waited enough. I have not waited enough on matters. Many of us don't have staying power. You know, ability to pray and pray through. Ability to ensure that we prevail in prayer. And God wants to bring us to these God's people. God wants us to not offer mere words. As we are changing this thing, God wants us to come to a place where we can actually prevail in prayer. You know, finally, we're talking about faith. You see, you cannot take faith from prayer. I mean, even unbelievers have get faith because Jesus could attest to it. One thing Satan is taking away from Christianity is faith. Even other religions, they have a measure of faith, you know, even in their dealings, you know. So faith is one thing Satan is taking from you and I. You know, men have become so sensual. Men believe in what their ability can do. You know, it is strange for you and I to be able to look up to God and not say that, oh, if I do this, I do this, I get it. It is strange. It is the Lord, you know. It's a measure of faith, and that faith must not disappear. No wonder Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith? You know, when he talked about all the other things, one thing that will not be an ingredient, one atmosphere we must never have is talking too much. Charles Finney said, show me a man that talks too much. I will show a man that is prayerless. Many of us, we talk too much. You know, we were talking about murmuring and complain. Many people, we complain and murmur and talk to everybody about your problem except the Lord. We complain. Let us begin to check ourselves. When things are wrong with you, who do you turn to? What do you say? In fact, many of us, we don't even pray. We grumble and murmur. You have talked about your problem to everybody, you know, but to the Lord. He said, show me a believer that talks too much, and I will show you a believer who is prayerless. You know, many people that are prayerless, they find expression in talking. Can we propose in our hearts that we will talk more to the Lord? It's okay to talk, but be talking to the Lord. Make sure that communion and communication is to the Lord. Not in murmuring, not in grumbling, not in even talking to ourselves. Some people, you're talking to yourself, you will say you are Ronu, you are thinking. Prayer makes you acknowledge that you have a God and you have a Father who is very mindful of you. May God come to us. May you and I come to a place where we can move forward in prayer. I'm tired of praying that we not prevail. I want to offer prayer that we prevail. Prayer that we bring for breakthrough. You know, there are many things to stand and pray for. You know, the Lord has started talking to us about this season of mending and curings, season of healing. When the Lord declares something, you and I must know that Satan does not want us to get it. The adversary does not want us to get it. You know, we like prophecy. Many times, prophecy puts us into trouble. And that's why we always say we war with prophecy. May God help us, you know, to offer prayers that will prevail. May we be mindful of the effectiveness, the effectual prayer of a righteous man. You know, as his work is being done in us, may we come into every measure that God wants to cause us to break through. Because it's a season of breakthrough. You know, it's a season of breakthrough. The Lord bless us in the name of Jesus. Amen.